As oil prices fall, so does demand.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. The International Energy Agency predicts there's going to be a glut of oil next year, so much so that producers are going to have trouble storing all of it. Well, it's the latest chapter in the story of how falling oil prices are affecting the global economy. And joining us now to give us his read is Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's start with this IEA forecast. And the big takeaway seems to be that, yes, oil prices are falling. With that, so's demand.
Well, that's right. But there's another wrinkle to it, too, which is that the Saudis are absolutely bent on driving the price down short term. They're trying to squeeze the frackers, sending as much oil into the U.S. as they possibly can. They're actually discounting oil in the U.S. compared to the price where they're selling in the rest of the world. And it's working. They are driving those inventories higher.
And a conclusion in this report is it's really hurting a number of countries. A big one is Russia.
You know, Russia, whose central bank actually raised rates by another full percent this week. They're now at 10.5%. They're up from 5.5%. And still, their currency is tumbling. Prices are rising. Consumers are looking at double-digit increases in the prices of such Russian staples as cigarettes and vodka.
I want to hone in on one of the ways this is affecting the U.S. economy. The Federal Reserve is slated to meet next week. They've said in the past that a drop in oil prices may be a bad thing in the short term, but if you look with a longer horizon, it could be a good thing.
You know, we haven't seen a drop this sudden in a very long time. You have to go back to 1986. In the first quarter, oil prices tumbled 67% from $31 a barrel all the way down to 10. The Texas economy was hit hard, and it was hit first. And in the second quarter, the economy generally started to slow. By the third quarter, GDP growth was under 2%, which at the time was considered pretty bad. The stock market traded sideways for 6 months. Economists were actually worried about a full-blown recession. And then, of course, what happened was manufacturing took off because energy costs were low and consumer spending took off and the economy ultimately benefited. The Fed is predicting the same thing is going to happen this time.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Thanks, Chris, and have a great weekend.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support.
The Democratic Republic of Congo needs investment to rebuild from decades of war, but the country is the last place many foreign investors want to park their money. The World Bank says it's one of the hardest places in the world to do business. And yet, people do business there. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour spoke to one entrepreneur who got burned big time, but who's giving it another shot.
Conrad Britz is CEO of Falcon Coffee. It's a coffee supplier to brands all over the world.
So we're standing at the Coffee Lac dry mill facility in Goma.
A Rube Goldberg device sorts and refines coffee beans that have been collected from farmers around the region.
This, for me, is an incredibly risky investment, or a lot of people would view it as that.
After what Britz has been through, it's a miracle he is here. This is not his first ride on the Congo coffee train. 10 years ago, he tried exporting coffee from the other side of the country. He set up a network of middlemen to buy coffee beans from villages and then process those beans in a factory like this one.
And once we started the process, the shackles began to tighten.
Taxes got pushed mysteriously higher and higher, he says. And then there were random fees, like for the government to certify the weight of his coffee, even though officials had no scale. And then an extra wake-up call.
Our own staff were stealing in conjunction with the port authorities.
And they were reselling that coffee to him.
The degree of institutional corruption made me realize that I needed to cut my losses and leave.
So why is he back? Well, because he met this guy.
Tu vois le trou? See the bullet holes there?
Kyriakidis Menelas runs the coffee mill. He's showing off bullet holes in the metal gate. Menelas has been here 30 years through wars and invasions and corruption. Brits says he trusts Menelas and his family.
The family have built up a huge coffee export operation out of Uganda over the last 15 years. And Falcon, we've been partnering there with them for the last five.
The only way to survive here, says Menelas, is to know people who know how to survive here. And find partners who have a stake in your success. It doesn't hurt to have an edge, either.
In business, if you show up somewhere and don't know anyone and nothing, you're a sheep among lions. They're obviously going to devour you. So you have to become a little bit lion.
And as a businessman, Menelas takes the long view.
Our parents, they lost their things two or three times. Us too. You get used to it. The positive thing about Congo is you can lose for two or three years and then gain it all back, and more.
Brits takes the long view, too. He says his partners, who've invested more than he has, make him feel protected. This time, he says, we'll be different.
Well, possibly. Maybe I'll be a fool twice. We are yet to see.
In Goma, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Finally, Ray Dalio runs one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. It's called Bridgewater Associates, and it's famous, or infamous, for its corporate culture. Dalio believes in something called radical transparency. Well, one way he achieves this, we learned yesterday, is by recording every single conversation every employee has. At Bridgewater, you can't talk behind anybody's back, Dalio said. And if you're doing something wrong, I want to know about it. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.